Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us in studio a very, very special guest, Pastor Joe Schimmel, and we're going to be talking about his work going into the background of music, but not just ordinary, everyday music. It's the sort of music that has transformed America, starting with the blues and then into jazz and then, of course, into rock and roll and then to the hard metal rock. Music has had a transforming force on the culture in which we lived. And I don't know anybody who's in a better position to talk about that than Pastor Joe Schimmel. Pastor Schimmel, thank you so much for being with us.
It's good to be here, Stan.
Okay, why don't you just sort of just tell our listeners just a little bit about your background?
Well, my background as it relates to music started out as a pretty typical teenager that was sucked into a lot of the music that was popular in the late 70s. And as a result of being involved in bands like Led Zeppelin and other various rock bands at that time, I immersed myself more and more into the music scene and desired to very strongly to get more and more into music and actually play it. And I picked up the guitar, began playing guitar, began writing lyrics, and to my amazement, at around the same time, I was bombarded by various occult experiences that opened me up to spiritual forces that I didn't, frankly, at the time, believe existed. I didn't believe in Satan. I didn't believe in Jesus Christ and what the Bible had said about spiritual things. In fact, I hadn't really read the Bible, but being prejudiced from, you know, a lot of the media and so forth, I just kind of wrote it off as archaic or fictitious. And as a result, I got into a different occult phenomena, different occult techniques, like the programming the subconscious of my subconscious mind and so forth. And as a result of doing that, I was bombarded by all kinds of mystical experiences. And while programming what I thought was my subconscious mind, I was seeking to grow musically. And incredibly, as I was seeking to grow musically and visualizing my success on guitar and in music, I had opened myself up to the spirit world, a spirit world that, as I said, I didn't believe existed at first. And I began writing lyrics automatically. I wrote lyrics that would just come to me, and the occult is called automatic writing, where a demonic being takes control of your body, or at least your thought processes, and you end up channeling lyrics. And I began channeling lyrics, like very, very various lyrics that were purporting, you know, occult, you know, philosophies I didn't even believe in at the time, but was being initiated into myself. Lyrics like treacherous meadows touched by the devil, burdened with calamity and subdued by disease, baby stroller in the creek, madman hangs within the week. Very morbid lyrics, but various lyrics that weren't just, you know, glorifying Satan and you know, destruction and evil, but glorifying New Age thought. I would write lyrics like, instead of Little Miss Muffet, I wrote about Little Miss Medium, can you awaken the dead masters of your sleep? I had no idea that a medium contacted masters that they channeled, but these were coming through me. And I began recognizing that, wow, I'm in touch with some forces that want to use me.
And of course, that's a little frightening thought. You know, of course, initially, I'm sure you were very pleased with what was happening. But down the line, of course, Pastor Joe Schimmel began to realize that he was in the grip of forces that he had no control over were beginning to take over his mind. Now, that may sound very strange to you, but many of the great writers of today have had their messages channeled to them by demonic spirits. And there really is another dimension out there, and we'll be talking more about that in just a moment when we get back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Pastor Joe Schemmelin, and we're talking about his experience as he began, of course, to write lyrics and to play the guitar, and of course, began to realize that suddenly something is seriously wrong. And he's not really writing these words. He's maybe putting them down on paper, but they're coming to him. In fact, many of the phrases you actually wrote, you didn't even understand at the time, did you, Joe?
No, in fact, even many of the words that came up in my lyrics were beyond my understanding at that time. My vocabulary wasn't expanded at the age of about 17 to the point that it could sustain many of the words that I was writing. In fact, it was interesting. I knew I was in touch with some heavy forces, at first thinking it was my subconscious because I had been tapping in, so I thought, to my subconscious. And I was going through altered states of consciousness, to where I'd go into states of paralysis and couldn't move, and I'd hear this humming sound that would just, going through my head and so forth. At first, I didn't have a clue what that was. Later on, after I became a Christian and began to read occult literature, I found out that that was a staple within experience with many of the mystics who'd open themselves up to the spirit world. But I was writing lyrics like my family or my soul. Lyrics like I was falling forever deeper into the hole. I could not be freed, for the devil was grasping my soul. I hear my mother screaming and my sister's dreaming and my father crying and my brother dying. At first I was troubled at the devil for the reason. Then the choice had dawned. It would be my soul or that of my family's to be treason. Could not win to be a devil or a demon. And then the song goes on to where I hit the final bottom and I make the choice to say goodbye to my family. And it says, and so I won, or maybe so, and so I left with my soul and began to rock and roll. And that would be, of course, where the guitar solo would be, and it was like an anthem in praise to rock music, selling not your own soul, but your family's soul. It was a very sick song, but as a result of this, and I continue to look at my lyrics and so forth, I thought, wow, this is just all coming to me. I didn't believe in the devil myself, but I'd wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning and hear music blasted in my dreams, and even when I'd wake up, the music would still be playing for a period of time. I knew I was definitely in touch with something. And as I began to look more and more at my lyrics and more at some of the mystical experiences I was having, which had a very evil nature, I began to realize I was in touch with dark spiritual forces, and they began to communicate with me audibly on a couple occasions, to where I realized I was not in touch with some impersonal subconscious force, but I had opened myself up to spiritual entities that were very real, very dark. And it wasn't until I turned to the scripture. I actually cried out to God on a couple occasions during this time as a confused young man, and then my experiences stopped. And when my experiences stopped, when I cried out to God, I realized not only was Satan real, but God was quite real. And
cared
about
me. Hold that thought right there for just a moment, Joe, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Pastor Joe Schemmelin has been sharing his experiences. He started out as a confused young man, writing lyrics for rock songs and playing the guitar. And, of course, as he wrote these lyrics, they kept getting stranger and stranger. And, of course, he really wasn't writing them. These ideas would come to him seemingly out of nowhere. It was almost as if they were being channeled to him by another spirit, by another force. And then, of course, as the story goes on, he became increasingly aware that what he was writing, his music, was taking on an Eastern tone. His lyrics were really extremely dark, talking about Satan and, of course, the devil and things of this sort. And one, of course, eventually he begins to hear humming sounds. He gets to get these forces seem to be taking over him. And so he cries out to God, and that was really sort of a defining point in your life, wasn't it, Joe?
Well, it was really amazing. It was at that point that I realized that I'd played the fool, and the devil was pretty much playing me like a flute. And I turned to the scripture. I turned to the Bible, a book I thought was a book of myths. And as I opened it up, I realized that the God of creation had inspired this very book, and there was prophecy after prophecy that had come to pass where he proved who he was. And I began to also read about a spiritual battle that he had outlined in the scripture, letting us know as believers, I had turned my life over to Christ and submitted to him as my Lord. And he opened my eyes to the scripture, and it was amazing to find out that, wow, there's this whole history of the spiritual world that's outlined for us in scripture, where we read about Lucifer, the anointed cherub, who was created with tabrets, and he according to Isaiah 14, he has string instruments, and he was a musician, and he's like a walking orchestra with instruments built into his very being. And I'd read in scripture where he says he profaned his sanctuaries, those would be places of worship, and that he led a third of the angels astray. So I came to the understanding from the scripture that he is a musical being, and music was once used by him to praise God, but now, as a fallen being on this planet, with the fallen angelic beings, the many, many demons that have followed him, also musical beings that possess human beings as Jesus and the apostles taught, and as different religious groups, different groups, like whether it's witch doctors or shamans or voodoo priests, all of them acknowledge that music is used by spiritual beings and that they open themselves up and so forth. Well, that's happening today on a mass level with many pop stars, and America is pretty much ignorant of the spiritual forces behind its decline through the influences that we see through music.
Well, I think that the hardest thing for the average rational individual to believe is that there really is another dimension, that there are beings out there, supernatural beings in that other dimension that will reach over and, of course, can actually take control of your life. And yet, of course, as Joe was saying, you know, there are sort of shamans and witch doctors. And, of course, if you study the history of civilization, behind every ruling force, whether it be the tribal chief who had a witch doctor, or the Asian chieftain who had a shaman, or the pharaoh who had priests, or the emperors who always had the priests to verify what they were doing, there have always been a spiritual component to everything that's gone on. And of course, you remember the story of Moses when he goes to see Pharaoh, and he actually throws down his staff and it turns into a serpent. But remember, of course, that the priests, the occult priests who worked for Pharaoh, they threw down their staffs and they turned into serpents too. There really is another dimension out there. And to a lot of people who say, I don't believe the Bible, well, then you certainly ought to believe the writings of many of the people who have shaped the society in which we live today. And they will tell you that they are in touch with spirits who have channeled things to them, whether this would be Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, the mother of theosophy, or Annie Besant, or Alice Bailey, who laid out the foundation for the New Age. Her books were channeled to her by a demonic being. Certainly Barbara Marx Hubbard, who ran for the vice presidency back in 1984 against Geraldine Ferraro. That was for the Democratic nomination for the vice presidency. If you read her book, The Revelation, the Book of Co-Creation, she will talk about the spirit, the Christ spirit, that channeled her book, The Revelation. But you have to understand, she may have thought it was a Christ spirit. I think it was a demon. These demonic forces are out there. So there have been many, many books written about these channeling measures. And Joe, of course, has actually engaged these forces. He suddenly realized what there are. He cries out to God. And suddenly he's delivered and his life is transformed. But he didn't just sit back and say, well, now I don't have anything to worry about. He set out to document the background of modern day music, and that really is something that nobody else has done anywhere near what he's done. So why don't you pick up the story there, Joe?
Well, it was interesting. When I went to the scripture, I found out from reading the Word of God that there is definitely a spiritual movement afoot, an occult agenda whereby Satan is actively at work with the spirit world to influence mankind against God and increase the rebellion that began in the spirit world against God in the human world, and the world that we live in. And as I began to read the scripture, I realized that history definitely was linear and that it was moving toward its culmination at Armageddon, and that the scriptures foretold, in Revelation 16, verses 14 through 16, it says, "For they are the spirits of demons which go forth to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them together against God and against Christ the Almighty at Armageddon." That there was a spiritual battle where these spirits had an agenda which was to unify mankind against Christ for the battle of Armageddon and bringing as many human beings into subjection to that tyranny as possible. Now, as I read the scripture, it was interesting because over and over and over again, you see that God warns that there's these spiritual forces that are using men that we need to be aware about. And it's interesting because you mentioned Moses and you know, the staff, and Jannes and Jambres were the two occultists who you know, were in Pharaoh's court, who mimicked many of the miracles that Moses had done. They couldn't do every one of them, but they did a lot of them. What's interesting, because the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and following, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, false accusers." It goes on, and it says, "And they'll creep into your houses and lead people astray." And it says, "Even like Jannes and Jambres did in the time of Moses, these men will oppose the truth." And so we have these scriptures that warn of the occult system that was under Pharaoh back in the days of the children of Israel, coming again in these last days, so much so that even Israel in the last days, Jerusalem is called the city in the book of Revelation where the Lord was crucified, but it's called spiritually in Revelation 11, Sodom and Egypt. In other words, that the world is going to be so transformed by occult powers, even Jerusalem, the city of God, will become like Egypt all over again. Of course, Pharaoh was a picture of the future coming of Antichrist, and you have many, many scriptures that tell us that the Antichrist himself will come with the power of Satan and with all power and signs and lying wonders and all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they refuse to love the truth that they might be saved, and therefore they're given over to strong delusion that they might believe a lie. So the scriptures predict that there are these demonic forces not only working, but the spirit of Antichrist will continue to work, and it will come sometimes in the name of Christ. And you mentioned Barbara Marks Hubbard. I mean, yeah, she said this was a Christ spirit. However, the Word of God says, warns about, Jesus said, "Many would come in my name claiming to be the Christ." And in 1 John, we're told to test the spirit, see whether they're of God. And we're told that any spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, that denies the Father and the Son, this is the spirit of Antichrist. And Barbara Marks Hubbard denies the Christian gospel. And it's the spirit of Antichrist that's using her and many other people. In fact, there'll be such a deception that it says in 2 Thessalonians 2 that the Antichrist will sit in the temple of God showing himself that he is God. The false prophet, it says, will look like a lamb, like Jesus, but speak like a dragon, the words of Satan. So it's a spiritual deception that's taking place. And music, I personally believe that many of the secular musicians will join together in the time of Antichrist, even as they're now pushing a one world agenda. And many Christians, the design will be to draw as many Christians as possible, even using contemporary Christian music that looks like a lamb, but will also speak like a dragon. In fact, much some of the Christian music today, we've got to watch out for, because it pushes the whole concept that everybody is a brother and a sister, and that, well, the Bible says you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. You must be adopted into God's kingdom. So there's a lot of deception going on, and as Christians, we've got to wake up. We live in very, very dangerous times, the scriptures say.
Well, I agree with you totally, Joe. And the thing is that there is a spiritual battle, and you've heard me say it so many times, but Joe is certainly, this is the first time we've ever actually met. We've talked a few times on the telephone, but Joe recognizes the spiritual battle that's taking place today. I mean, the average person sees the battle between the Republicans and the Democrats, between the right and the left, the conservatives and the liberals, the Christians and the people who hate Christianity, but people don't really understand that behind all of this is this eternal spiritual battle. But now it is being transformed, and one of the major means that is being used to turn people away from the true gospel is music. Because music has a tremendous impact on our physiologically, it can have an impact on our souls. So, Joe, as you began looking into what was happening in music, didn't you find that many of the people who were in this new forms or progressive forms of music were actually, admittedly, actually contacting beings or spirits from another dimension?
Well, one thing that was amazing after I became a Christian and I realized what was going on with me, one of the things that I was quite aware of was that, hey, if demonic spirits were trying to use me and giving me lyrics and music and so forth, and I don't know what their exact agenda was, I knew for sure they were also using many of the people who had become mega rock stars. And that's something that became obvious as I began to look at their music, their lyrics, or interviews, that it followed that same paradigm.
Well, I think the fascinating thing, if you see Joe's videos or hear one of his talks, why, of course, he's got all the film footage that he puts into the videos where the rock stars are many times even talking about carrying out the devil's agenda, that they've sold their souls to the devil. And, of course, many of them openly acknowledge the fact that their source of inspiration comes from a man named Aleister Crowley. Who was Aleister Crowley? He was the most famous Satanist of the first half of the last century. We'll be back here in just a moment with Pastor Joe Schimmel. All right, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this evening, Pastor Joe Schimmel, and we're certainly talking about his experiences that then led him to begin to analyze what was happening from within the music industry, really, and how music had transformed the lives of many, many people. But their talent many times, their lyrics, their ability to draw vast crowds was not really of their own making, but coming from the dark side. Would you like to perhaps go back and the beginning, really, of where the blues came from, and this guitar player who couldn't play a lick, he really couldn't play hardly at all, and then he met the devil at the crossroad. His life was transformed, and he became really one of the great guitarists of all time. What's that story about?
Well, it's interesting. When we do our presentation, one thing we often show is we sometimes start with Robert Johnson. Robert Johnson was, the father of rock and roll. Elvis was called the king of rock and roll, and Michael Jackson the king of pop. Well, Robert Johnson is called the father of rock and roll. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it's stated as much. In fact, even in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they talk about how the legend of Robert Johnson selling his soul at the crossroads. And what was interesting is we show in our video, we show footage of, from Sun House, audio clip where he's an esteemed blues master prior to, Robert Johnson becoming big. And Robert Johnson had played with him a little bit, but was not really known for his guitar playing and so forth. And Robert Johnson left and came back about 6 months later, and we show Sunhouse, talking about how Robert Johnson, when he'd come back, wanted to play guitar, and he said, "No, they don't want to hear your racket, Robert." And he said, all of a sudden, Robert began playing, and their mouths dropped open. They were astonished as to what happened, and Sunhouse said, "Well, we show different blues artists that were around the time Robert Johnson talk about how he'd sold the devil to play like that," and Sunhouse said that he hadn't doubted that. And it's interesting because Robert Johnson himself, then we play some of his lyrics where he talks about, going down the crossroads, where he talks about, hello, Satan, Satan's at the door, it's time to go, and so forth. So we document from the father of rock and roll onward, through the 50s and the 60s until present, a spiritual component that's undeniable. I mean, the interesting thing when I do these presentations, we've had skeptics come and afterwards have nothing to say. We've had skeptics. I mentioned, in a show we had done before, actually one we had done earlier today, where we had a fireman come to the presentation, a strong rock fan, who came because he wanted to heckle what we were doing. But he'd never looked at the evidence. And after looking at the evidence afterward, he'd actually turned his life around, came to the Lord, and actually became a Christian, ended up becoming an elder in the church that I pastor. In fact, you really can't argue with the evidence, because what I do is I quote rock star after rock star after rock star admitting demon possession, alignment with occult forces, Satanism and so forth, and touch with spiritual beings, one after another. And I quote the scripture that states that these kinds of things would happen, and where the scripture says the world would be going through the influences of the occult and so forth. And somebody has, if they're going to argue, they have to argue with the rock star's own admissions.
Well, I think really the most powerful part of your presentations is that you have the video footage of this. This is not what you're saying, they said, but you actually hear the people saying it. And I will tell you, of course, if you're coming to the meeting where Joe is going to be speaking tomorrow, you'll be amazed. You'll see some of the footage, or it'll be available from other sources. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Pastor Joe Schimmel, and we're talking about the influence of music and, of course, the demonic force that has motivated many of the rock stars of the last generation and of this generation as well. And as I was simply pointing out, the reason that Joe Schimmel's presentations are so powerful is he's not just telling you what they say, you actually hear them saying it. You hear them on videotape many times talking about selling their souls to the devil, their relationship with Aleister Crowley. And, of course, once you know who Aleister Crowley was, those who listen to our programs regularly know that he was the leading Satanist of the first half of the last century. So, now, Joe, now, where did you get all of that film footage? That is the most amazing footage I ever saw.
Well, one thing I did early on is, in fact, I used to just use slides, and the evidence was enough in slides and quotations, but as I began to do more and more research, I began to use, more of a multimedia presentation. When you see, as you mentioned, these men in their own interviews, talking about what they're doing and how they align together, so incredibly is parallel with what the scripture said would happen. It's quite amazing. In fact, one thing I found out in my research, which was pretty quickly forthcoming in regard to these, was not as hidden as people would think, is I began to see, whether it would be Robert Johnson or it would be the top artists from the 50s until present, this common denominator of openness to the spirit world and being inspired by the spirit world lyrically. Now, when you think of the biblical background and what it says about Satan and the fallen angelic beings being musical beings and using whatever means as deceitful spirits to influence the world, and then you couple that with the fact that music is one of the most powerful teaching tools, whether it's learning your ABCs or the advertising world using jingles on commercials or a general leading his army to war with music. It's a very powerful motivating tool. You put that with satanic forces that are fallen musical beings with the power of music on the soul, and then you raise up icons that are worshipped by the world. I mean, you have an incredible tool whereby you can influence society. So one of the things I think that's really incredible, that's undeniable, and you can't explain away, is that when we look at the top artists from the 50s until present, so many of them, that openness and often admission to being used by demonic spirits or spirit beings. If you take the top three of the 1950s, Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Elvis Presley, all three of them admitted being used by spirit beings. We play footage of where Jerry Lee Lewis is arguing with Sam Phillips when he's recording the Great Balls of Fire in the 1950s and arguing, hey, I'm possessed by the devil. And Sam Phillips saying, hey, encourage him to still record the song, which he did. It became huge. Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, we show quotes from their own mouths where they're in touch with the spirit world. The 1960s, you take the biggest bands of the 60s, whether it's the Beatles and the Rolling Stones or the Doors and Jimi Hendrix and the Beach Boys and so forth, all these bands admitted contact with the spiritual world. You go into the John Lennon saying he was when he wrote, it was like being possessed, a medium, a psychic, and how he said one spirit would come into him, then it would leave, and he was a hollow temple, and another spirit would possess his body, then it would leave. Jim Morrison saying he got in touch with the spirit when he left, he believed he was possessed. There's much in the writings on Jim Morrison, his biographies, they all talk about, almost all of them talk about his admitted possession by this spirit. In fact, Jim Morrison said when he quit UCLA, he went down to the beach to live, basically became a street person, a bum, and there he said he met the spirit of music, and those first four or five songs he wrote were given to him. He said the spirit of music he identifies in his writings, Wilderness, he calls Satan. Now, you look at Jimi Hendrix, the most famed guitarist of all time. Jimi Hendrix, we play recordings of by Fane Pridgeon, his girlfriend and a live-in girlfriend, and Alan Douglas, the executive curator of his musical estate, both telling you, and we play this, that he was possessed, and he believed he was possessed, and they began to believe it themselves, and that the music and so forth would just come out of him. Brian Wilson, the leader of the Beach Boys, in touch with spirits, saying that the Beach Boys' music was witchcraft, and that he would be bedridden sometimes 4 or 5 years at a time, and these hostile spirits would cuss at him and everything else, and tell him that he was going to die and he was going to get it and so forth. And I mean, the Rolling Stones, Mick Jagger, the Satanic Majesty's Request, Sympathy for the Devil, openness to spirit worlds, possession, they talk about and so forth. It's just through and through, and we just got to the 60s.
And, of course, people have to understand the reason that these people have been popular, they've made countless millions of dollars, is because they've given their souls to the dark side. And, of course, their music then has had a profound impact on several generations of our young people. Is still having an impact. The people of the 60s are now in positions of power today, ruling our nation, and yet these people have been influenced by these dark, demonic forces. These are not imaginary, they're real. And as we develop these ideas through this 2 hours, and those of you who haven't seen Pastor Schimmel's works, they sold their souls for rock and roll. You need to get those videos. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Pastor Joe Schimmel. Of course, he leads a church in Southern California, but he's good enough to be up here to be with us for a conference we're going to have tomorrow. And we're going to be talking, or he's going to be talking, I should say, about what he has learned as he studied the background. And we're talking about the Beatles, we're talking about the Beach Boys, we're talking about Marilyn Manson, we're talking about Ozzy Osbourne, very, very popular today, trying to remake his image. But, of course, Ozzy, of course, got his original start by his association with Aleister Crowley. So why don't we just go ahead and pick up the story? We hear about Elvis. I mean, Elvis here, he has everything in the world to live for. He's got a beautiful home. You know, he's known. He's the king of rock and roll. And yet, of course, he dies at a relatively young age of a drug overdose. But what was the real background? What was the relationship of Elvis to these dark spiritual forces you talk about?
Well, Elvis Presley was heavily into the occult. He was into the teachings of Madame Blavatsky, the Russian mystic, who was basically, if we call Crowley the father of modern Satanism and the father of the New Age, in a way, she was one of the, she was one of the foundation stones, along with Crowley, as the mother of the New Age. And Elvis Presley was heavily into her teachings. In fact, he would read from her books on stage and indoctrinate his audiences in her teachings. We have footage in our video where we show in our longer version, also our three-hour version, but also in our 10-hour version, extensive footage of his bodyguards, the Memphis Mafia, who lived with Elvis. A couple of them were his cousins, who talked about how Elvis would would call them his disciple. They were his disciples, and that he believed he was, a prophet, and that he would teach that Jesus, would get stoned with Mary Magdalene and have sex with her and so forth, and that he had I say this because many people think, well, yeah, did Elvis put out a gospel album? And people are very easily deceived. I mean, look at the lifestyle. They admit that even when he had Priscilla and he had her move in when she was only about 14 years old, that he was never faithful to her. And we show footage of Elvis Presley talking about how, the girl he was with, he says his bodyguards are laughing with, I was with last night, she could raise the dead. Then we show him in the back of his limo talking about how he had this great lunch and laughing about it. He's talking about sex with somebody. And one of the bodyguards, and we show this, says, hey, Elvis, you're on tape, You better do a monologue over that. And then Elvis, says, oh, blankety blank. And then he turns and he starts singing, what a friend we have in Jesus. Just blasphemy. And what's amazing is, this is in the 50s when people are he's trying to give this wholesome image and so forth. But it was a deception.
Hold that thought, Brian, just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, Pastor Schimmel is talking about how Elvis Presley really sort of mocked Christianity. Oh, he did Bible albums. He could sing about Jesus, but of course, he was deeply involved with the occult. He would actually go onto stage and read from Madame Blavatsky's writings. Now, who was Madame Blavatsky? Why, she was a Satanist. And those of you who have read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will find the quotations from the second volume of her book, The Secret Doctrine, where she talks about how Lucifer, how Satan is God. And that is where the power comes from. That is, of course, the secret. Very few of the Satanists really will talk about it, but Madame Blavatsky was quite open, and here, of course, is Elvis reading on stage to his audiences from The Secret Doctrine. So he was involved with Theosophy, as are have so many of these people, either Theosophy or Crowleyism or Frank Satanism. So here, tragic life and death of a man who had so much to, you know, he did have a talent. Certainly, he did have a beautiful voice. But he was propelled to the height of his career, not by what he did, but by the demonic forces, which are such a powerful force over the medium and over the minds of so many people here in America today. So it certainly isn't just Elvis. What about Michael Jackson, people like that? I mean, Michael Jackson's in the news so much today because of his pedophilia. There are many, many charges of pedophilia. He's paid off many parents, to keep them from bringing out his information about his pedophilia. So why would any normal individual want to be involved with pedophilia? Well, because Michael Jackson isn't a normal individual. What's the background of Michael Jackson and spiritualism?
Well, Michael Jackson years ago admitted that when he writes his songs, he wakes up from dreams and that they are given to him and that he says he's merely the courier bringing them into the world. Now, at first, you know, he talked about getting his songs from this other dimension, but then he elaborated more and more about his musical influences, and he stated that he would go into a room, and a room full of mirrors, and contact the spirit world, and that he would get instruction musically as well. He says when he would go on stage and perform, other forces would take him over. He said it would be a magic would hit him, and when the spirit would hit him, he had no control over himself. Well, you look at what Michael Jackson would do on stage. It was phenomenal, incredibly charismatic, but he gave himself over to these demonic forces. One of the things he would do that he said no power over is that the spirit would use him and he'd grab himself between the legs over and over again. This was just part of the moral breakdown that the icons were pushing these spirits through, these rock and roll icons. But it's interesting. I mean, if you have a man who can't control himself on stage and is taken over by admitted spiritual forces and is grabbing his crotch and so forth, this is not a man that you would, you know, want to allow your children to spend the night with. And it's heartbreaking because it's interesting. He also made, you know, walking backwards popular with the moonwalk and so forth. What's interesting, though, is a lot of these teachings come right out of Crowley's teachings as well. Crowley said listen to, that his disciples were supposed to listen to phonograph records reverse, to walk backwards. He said that Crowley himself was into a pedophilia. He was a homosexual who wrote about sex with young boys and sex with animals and so forth. And he also, Crowley, contacted spirits in a room full of mirrors. So it's amazing because people have no idea how deep the occult runs in so many of these pop stars, because they are beholden to these spiritual forces that empower them and use them to further their agenda. In fact, Michael Jackson, it recently came out in a CNN report, also was reported in Vanity Fair, that he went to Switzerland and he wanted to put a death curse on 25 different people. And one of those people was Steven Spielberg, and he slaughtered 40 cattle, with the help of obviously a Satanist, and he went and took a bath in the blood of these cows. I mean, this is amazing. This is stuff that's documented. It's not something that you hear over and over again because the media, you know, they'll report something strange like that, but they won't connect the dots for you. And they won't say a lot about it. But, I mean, just when you're thinking of Michael Jackson, I mean, the whole Jackson family has been huge musically. When you think of his sisters, LaToya Jackson, she has had a psychic hotline. You think of Janet Jackson, one of the big female artists of the last 15 years, still big, just came out with a new album. She was chastened slightly in the news media, just a little bit, because she, on the Super Bowl halftime show, last Super Bowl, dancing with Justin Timberlake, and he, you know, kind of snapped her top and her breast came out in front of millions of viewers who were watching with their families and had no desire to see anything like that. Well, it's interesting. And her last album was called Demetra Joe that came out after that. And she says that she channels an entity that lives in her called Demetra Joe. And she named the album after this entity, which is also her middle name. And she also has a song on there called Strawberry. And she said that Strawberry is another entity, a very sexual type, you know, spirit that she channels. And it's interesting because There's a song on that album called Strawberry Bounce, and it's a, and she admits that the term strawberry is a street term for a prostitute. Well, the lyrics of Strawberry Bounce is all about how I have sex to make money and so forth, and I'm good because I'm a pro and so forth. And children, and not just children, but you know, teenagers and young adults and adults in their 30s, 40s, and 50s now are listening to Janet Jackson glorifying prostitution. Now, these are things they would never typically glorify if they were talking about it in the discussion. But you put these things to music, all of a sudden their foot's tapping, and as George Harrison said when he got Christians singing Hare Krishna after he switched Hallelujah to Hare Krishna, if you get their feet tapping, he could sneak up on them a bit, that's George Harrison's words, and get them singing Hare Krishna. Music is being used as a brainwashing technique, to subversive power in music. And we need to wake up and say, okay, what are we listening to? We should be listening to music that glorifies God. What are we allowing our children to listen to? And what are we doing to them? And why are their lives being transformed before our eyes when they're picking up things that we don't teach them? Where are they getting it? Well, much of it's from the music. Much of it's from the peer pressure. Much of it's from the school systems and so forth. But we can be doing a lot better job. Marilyn Manson said, raise your children better or I'll raise them for you. And sadly, many parents are allowing the rock stars and the media to raise their children. And sadly, this is transforming our country toward evil in just heartbreaking and tragic ways.
Well, I think that, of course, some of the film footage you have of these rock concerts with literally tens of thousands of young people there, you know, ecstatic, you know, just consumed with the music. And of course, one of these is where you have Marilyn Manson singing about Aleister Crowley, where you have Ozzy Osbourne singing about Aleister Crowley. Why don't we talk a little bit about Aleister Crowley? For those of you who are not regular listeners to our programs, the name Aleister Crowley may not mean a great deal. And yet, of course, he was a man who considered himself the most evil man in the world. He was forced to leave Italy many years ago because of the rumors of child sacrifice. And he openly wrote about how, of course, the place where you got the most power was sacrificing a young child. This was a totally evil man. And yet we hear our rock stars singing about him. We see the Beatles honoring him with his picture on the front of the album. Why don't you tell our listeners about Mr. Crowley and the influence he has on the world we live in today?
Well, the first statement I'll make is that Aleister Crowley is not only the most the most influential Satanist in the last 100 years. I'll make another statement that Aleister Crowley is the most influential human being popular culture today. And if when you look at the evidence, I mean, somebody might hear that and they'll think of, you know, different people like Freud and Darwin and other people who influenced society. But I'll venture easily to say that Crowley influenced the world on a cultural level, the Western world, more so than any man I can think of.
And I think you're absolutely right. And the fact that the average person doesn't know that is because of the degree of control that exists over the media that is not going to tell you about the spiritual battle that's being fought for the very souls of the American people, for the souls of our children today. So let's talk a little bit about Aleister Crowley, who, of course, had a home on Loch Ness in Scotland, where the Loch Ness Monster is said to live. But the people who knew Aleister Crowley called him the other Loch Ness Monster. So go ahead.
Well, he certainly was a monster. In fact, the first couple wives that were married to him actually went insane. Some of his friends, you know, disappeared on mountain climbing expeditions and so forth. He actually talked about, or actually wrote about, sacrificing several children to Satan. In fact, one of his rituals had to do with sexual copulation with a goat and a woman, and then slitting the goat's throat during the climax of that experience. One of the other things he would do, one of his rituals, was to take a frog, and in the name of Satan, he would say, "Lo, Satan, I have you, Jesus of Nazareth." He called the frog Jesus of Nazareth. Then he'd crucify this frog in the name of Satan, and then talk about the Lord of the new eon, the new age of Horus, and the coming new satanic age of Antichrist. And what's interesting about Crowley is When you look at the predictions that he made about what was going to happen with his movement and what did happen, it's actually very stunning. In fact, he wrote a book called The Book of the Law in 1904, where he said he was influenced by a spirit called Iwas, and this spirit he later identified as Satan, and it was dictated to him three successive days. And the book was all about the coming new eon, and it said the new eon would come under the maxim of "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law," contrary to Christ's teachings, who taught us not to pray, you know, "Thy will be done on earth as it's in heaven," and also as Jesus prayed, "Not my will but thine be done." That's what we're called to do, to deny ourselves and take up our crosses. Crowley's teaching was "Do what thou wilt." It was to it was an echo of Satan's "I will exalt myself above the stars of God" in Isaiah 14. And what's interesting is in this book, under "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole law," you have all these teachings about the coming drug revolution, to worship me, take strange drugs, astrology and so forth that became so popular later. In his writings, he wrote a lot about homosexuality and sexual deviancy. Now, what's amazing about Crowley and bringing in the new eon is he wanted to do several things. That, now, keep in mind, we're talking about the early 1900s, when these things were not popular at all, and people would just, their stomach would just grow queasy even thinking about these things. But now they're public, they're you know, in our world, they're very, very common. But Crowley was talking about the early 1900s, about this new age, which was not a popular term back then, that would have the philosophy of "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole law," and that there would be a synthesis between Eastern mysticism and Western occultism, and they'd bring the occult schools together. And not only, as I mentioned, under the philosophy of "Do what thou wilt," but there would be a free drug movement. There would be a movement of sexual perversity, including homosexuality, and that there would eventually, through this, these movements would develop a new world order under the Antichrist.
Now, was this in 1904 he's writing this?
Now, he's writing about, he believed that his main instructions came through the Book of Law in 1904, and then he began to develop these things in the next few decades.
Okay, fine. And so if you're out there in the listening audience, we have a few more minutes before we have to say goodbye to our listeners in the eastern part of Washington. So if you do have a question for Pastor Joe Schimmel, give us a call here at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Now, Pastor Schimmel will be with us for the next hour, so if you're listening on shortwave, you're listening on the internet, while you can continue listening to us. Our program on the internet is at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com, where you can listen to us either directly or a link to one of the other networks we're on for 5 hours a day, and really not get much of anything accomplished, but you can listen. And we actually have many people who do listen. They have their speakers in the living room or in the kitchen, and so that they can certainly get the information and then help to educate others. On shortwave, of course, the program is heard on 7.535 for this evening program. That's one of the transmitters. The other one will be transmitting at 58.35, that's 5.835, or at 5.970, that's 5.970. We have to get that out because they did not notify us ahead of time they were changing to these frequencies. So you can either listen all day long, afternoon and evening, at 7.535, or for the evening program on the Angel 2, the second transmitter, 58.35 for the first hour, 59.70. So, anyway, if you have a question for Pastor Schimmel, fine. Otherwise, of course, we'll have open lines the next hour. But we're talking about Aleister Crowley and this man who is truly evil, as we commented earlier. The people who knew him referred to him as the other Loch Ness Monster. And there's little doubt that he was involved in human sacrifice and the ultimate in depravity. And yet this man, Pastor Schimmel has said, and I believe it's absolutely true, has had more of an impact on the world we live in than any other person who lived during the last century. One of his disciples was a man named Dr. Timothy Leary, a Harvard professor who actually introduced people to the drug culture, carrying out Crowley's instructions. In fact, you even have film footage of Timothy Leary saying that, don't you?
Yes, we do. And what's amazing about this is that Aleister Crowley, before he died in 1947, he said, you know, let the oldsters totter into the sea, we'll never convert them. Meaning the older people that, you know, had traditional, you know, biblical values and so forth, we're not going to convert them. So he said, we must go after the youth. He felt the young people would be naive and would swallow these things up. And he said he would specifically target the United States of America with his religion to bring forth a new world order. Now, of course, Crowley believed that he was ushering in the Antichrist himself. In fact, Crowley had hoped that he would be the Antichrist. He used to sign his name, the Beast, 666, on all of his letters, over and over and over again. I've seen many copies of these letters, and he signs his name, the Beast, 666. So he wanted to bring forth this new world order under the Antichrist. And he said that we have to go after the young people, especially in America, and in England as well. And it's interesting because in the 1960s, these philosophies of homosexuality and no boundaries to the one's sex life and the free drug movement and the philosophy of do what thou wilt became do your own thing, or if it feels good, do it. All these things became very popular in the 60s. Now, if there was no relationship between Aleister Crowley and many of those people were influencing the youth in the 1960s, we could say, hey, it was a big coincidence, just this incredible coincidence. However, you can draw a line right from Aleister Crowley and his teachings to the main change agents and those main people in influence in the pop culture in the 1960s. It's undeniable. You mentioned Timothy Leary. We play footage of Timothy Leary on a PBS interview where you see him saying, Aleister Crowley, that he's fulfilling his mission. And he quotes the do what thou wilt philosophy of Crowley. And he mentions that the 1960s were reflective of Aleister Crowley's teachings. Timothy Leary, we show him being interviewed under 666 and so forth, talking about, you know, the whole drug movement, but he was a Crowleyite.
And, of course, so were so many of the other people who framed the world in which we live. A man named Alfred Kinsey, the father of course, the sexual revolution. There was a man who was instrumental in creating the homosexual movement. His name was Harry Hay. He was a Crowleyite too, wasn't he, Joe?
Right. Both of these men were Crowleyites. We show footage of these guys, and I'll pick it up after this.
All right. We'll be back here in just a moment with Pastor Joe Schimmel. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not imaginary. This is real. And we have to face it. We have to expose it. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest in studio this evening, Pastor Joe Schimmel, who will be a speaker at our conference tomorrow. And, of course, we were talking about how Timothy Leary, Dr. Timothy Leary, of Harvard University, who led the drug revolution, introduced LSD. His phrase was tune in and drop out, or turn on and drop out, I guess that was it, introduced so many young people to drugs. Now, he was a college-educated professor. Why would he do something like that? Because he wanted to corrupt the youth. And in the footage that you will see on these films, he readily admits that that's exactly his purpose. He says, in effect, I am carrying out the programs laid out by Aleister Crowley. And then we were talking about Dr. Kinsey, Harry Hay. Why don't you pick up that story?
Well, it's interesting. Many of these guys feel they have a mystical mandate from the spiritual world. For instance, Timothy Leary said he cut to the Ace of Discs, Crowley's tarot cards, when he was in exile in Switzerland. And he says there he read the words to Megatherion, which is the Greek words, the great beast. And he felt that he was supposed to carry out Crowley's mission to indoctrinate people in New Age occultism and so forth. And of course, his forte was the drugs, because he was turning people onto mescaline, students at Harvard University. Later he was defrocked, and then he worked with the Beatles to turn many, many young people onto this revolution. But then you go from drugs to, as you mentioned, Kinsey, the father of the sexual revolution. We have a picture of Alfred Kinsey with Kenneth Anger, the co-founder of the Church of Satan. Probably the man who's done the most to popularize Aleister Crowley's Satanism through his documentaries, which promote Satanism, and Crowleyan Satanism to be specific, called Invocation of My Demon Brother and Lucifer Rising. And it's interesting because we show the two of these men, Alfred Kinsey, as you mentioned, the father of the sexual revolution, and Kenneth Anger, at Crowley's Abbey in Sicily, the very place that Crowley was kicked out of because of his sexual perversion and alleged sacrifices that were going on there and so forth. And Alfred Kinsey, we quotes from he was fascinated with Aleister Crowley's homosexual writings and his diaries and so forth, and he was influenced by Aleister Crowley. Harry Hay, the founder of the modern-day gay movement. I mean, this is mind-blowing when you really think about it. I mean, these are the main movers and shakers in society with regard to the paradigm shift that has taken place in the social world. Now, it's interesting when you look at Harry Hay. He was the keyboard player, the organ player, for Crowley's OTO, the Order of the Temple of the Orient, which was still is now existing satanic organization. There's many factions now. But he played keyboards. He was an organ player for the L.A. Lodge and the founder of the modern-day gay movement. But he was targeting the youth in the 1960s, even as Timothy Leary was with drugs. In fact, he was called the oldest hippie in the 1960s.
Hold that thought right there, Joe. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we need to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported. And if you agree that there is a problem out there, if you'd like to join in our effort to get the information out, why, we hope many of you will get in touch with us at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Now, we carry the many of Pastor Joe Schimmel's videos. We specifically recommend the 4-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, or the 10-hour version. Joe, would you like to get your website out there for people to know how to get hold of you?
Yeah, it's www.goodfight.org.
That's
www.goodfight.org.
Org. So, if you'd like to get in touch with Pastor Schimmel and get more of his information, that's an excellent website. But then, of course, we want to mention, if you'd like to get a copy of my latest newsletter, which deals with a similar subject, we don't get into music, we get into the satanic organization that was established in the United States in 1640. It was established by Sir Francis Bacon. Now, how do we know about it? Well, another one of the leading Satanists of the latter half of the 19th century. Remember, Crowley died in the 1940s, but the man, of course, who led the satanic movement here in the United States after that was a man named Manly Palmer Hall. He was a 33rd degree Mason. He was a Satanist, a prolific writer, wrote over 200 books. But one of his most significant books was written in 1926. It was called The Secret Destiny of America. It's written for Satanists. And, of course, as you read this book, you'll understand that there really was a secret society that was established here in 1640 that ultimately came to dominate this country. And that's really what's going on today. That is the source of the spiritual battle that's being fought. There's always been a Christian force in America. There's been a satanic force in America. And, of course, initially we were strongly Christian with very little satanic influence, although it was always here, but they had to hide it. Today, they're so blatant, it's right out in the open. And, of course, when you run two members of a secret occult society for the presidency, and everybody has heard about it, and nobody's concerned, at that point you know that we're in real trouble. Because people do not understand the significance of these occults. Secret societies, they all tie together. They have a common goal: a new world order, a new world economic system, a new world currency, a new world religion. And their goal here in the United States is to corrupt our society and, of course, to impoverish our people. And that's why they're shipping our jobs, our factories out of this country, why they're destroying the value of the dollar, which most people are dependent upon for their retirement. But, of course, those dollars that you're saving now may not buy anything at all. But then, of course, over and beyond what we're seeing from a physical point of view, remember, God brings his judgment and terrible things onto a country that's turned against him, to whom much is given, much is expected. And what is America really doing today? Why, we're waging war throughout the world. We're torturing prisoners in prisons throughout the world, and not simply in Afghanistan, not simply in Iraq, but in Afghanistan and Guantanamo, and of course that reflects on every American today. What are you doing to learn about the spiritual battle and to help us? Well, we hope many of you want to get Pastor Schimmel's videos. They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, because it gives you one very excellent approach to what's going on. We have Herman, of course, calling in. We'll ask Herman to hang on. We'll pick him up just as soon as we get back after the hour break. But this is the time when I ask our listeners to pray for America, to pray for revival in America, because if our country doesn't turn back to God, is there any reason in the world why God should ever again bless this country? And lastly, of course, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection, and pray for Joe Schimmel's ministry as well, because he's on the front lines of this spiritual battle. Until Monday, may the Lord be with you. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views. They're the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Now, first hour, we were talking to Pastor Joe Schimmel, and he was giving the background of really the satanic influence on contemporary music. We're talking about rock and roll, we're talking about the blues, we're talking about jazz, and then, of course, we're talking about what's happening to the minds of our children today, and the profound influence of Aleister Crowley on many of the musicians who were, frankly, had sold their souls to the devil. And, of course, they'd gotten great rewards. They'd gotten great, amassed a great deal of money and popularity. They were at the top of their professions. And it's amazing how many of them died at a very young age. Well, we're going to open up our program here in the second hour. If you'd like to give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California. If you have a question, I know we had Herman on the line. We lost Herman. But if you'd like to talk to Pastor Schimmel about any of the things we've talked about, otherwise we'll get into some of the more contemporary things. Of course, we had the Led Zeppelins. What year were they involved in?
Well, actually, Led Zeppelin pretty much took off where the Beatles left off in 1968. Abbey Road was at the top of the charts. And Led Zeppelin 1 came out. It knocked Abbey Road off the top of the charts. And from that point on, Led Zeppelin throughout the late 60s, throughout the 1970s, they reigned throughout the 1970s. In fact, they outsold the Rolling Stones 3-1 in the 1970s. Well, what's incredible is here you have the biggest band of the 1970s, Led Zeppelin, and the leader of that band, Jimmy Page, is a full-blown Satanist. He points out, Page talks about how he has employed Aleister Crowley's teachings into his day-to-day life. In fact, we show footage of Jimmy Page doing the sign of the Enter. The sign of the Enter is one of Crowley's teachings, and we show Crowley actually doing it, a picture of Crowley doing it with a wand going to the four points of the compass, invoking Satan. We show Jimmy Page in Madison Square Garden And the song remains the same. The really the biggest rock movie that had come out prior to MTV and so forth. We show Jimmy Page practicing that and going to the four points of the compass with his violin bow as he, you know, slams his guitar and then squats into the Crowleyan position. And he and we show actually Anton LaVey of the Church of Satan as well doing the same thing, or his followers, and Anton LaVey prescribing that in the book of the Satanic Bible on how to invoke Satan. We show Page doing it. Well, I was a huge Led Zeppelin fan. I had seen that movie and so forth. I didn't have a clue what Page was doing. I just knew that Led Zeppelin had incredible power in music. Then when I became a Christian, realized what was going on because of my own spiritual openness to the spiritual world before I became a Christian, realizing the satanic forces I was aligned with, looking now at the band that I was into, realizing, wow, these guys are fully into Aleister Crowley. Here's Page saying that Crowley was like an eye into the forthcoming situation and practicing magic and putting Do What Thou Wilt on Led Zeppelin 3, the runoff matrix of Led Zeppelin's third album, for their fans to see. Many other Crowleyan connections to their music as well.
That Do What Thou Wilt, that is the whole of the law, that is what Aleister Crowley taught, that is what they're teaching in our schools, your school children today. You make the decision as to what's right and wrong. Values clarification, the whole thing is teaching Crowleyism. Is it little wonder that America's in trouble today? The DARE program. We got to teach children how to make adult decisions, but you've taken away the moral foundation. So how do you determine what's right and wrong? Why, you do. Do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law of Crowleyism being taught in schools all across America today. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and right now we've got Herman calling in from Carmel, I bet that. Hi, Herman, how are you doing?
Very good. A wonderful interview. I'd like to ask the pastor, Schimmel, about his views regarding America being Babylon the Great, mentioned in Revelation. And I know many people say it's a system, but it also talks about that great city that will be destroyed in 1 hour, and it traffics in the souls of men and women, and there are just so many parallels when you read what's going on. And recently somebody said, well, America couldn't possibly be Babylon because it's been blessed by God. But if you look at every great empire in history, at its zenith was wealthy. The Assyrians, the Babylonian, the Egyptian, the Roman, the Greeks, they were all very wealthy because they controlled, you know, the military and the commerce. And America has been very wealthy, but just because we are still wealthy doesn't make us righteous as a nation.
All right, Pastor Schimmel, did you get the question? Is America Babylon as described, or do you believe it is, or could it be the Babylon described in Revelation?
Well, that's a great question. I do know that even Israel itself, Jerusalem, is called in the book of Revelation in the last days during the time of the Antichrist, who sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God, as spiritually called in Revelation 11, Sodom and Egypt. It's not literally Sodom and not literally Egypt, but spiritually becomes that. So I do believe that literal Babylon, I don't believe, would be rebuilt, because God said it wouldn't be, but there would be the Babylon that God talks about in Revelation 17 and 18. I believe there's a spiritual component to it, a religious system, but I also believe it's a physical locality. Now, is it America? I personally believe very strongly that there's kind of been a parallel movement, tracks going different directions. There has definitely been a Christian influence in this nation, in the school systems early on, and so forth. But at the same time, there's been an occult background of this nation. I mean, you can pull out your dollar bill, as you know, and see, you know, Novus Ordo Seclorum, and, you know, the eye in the triangle, which Crowley also used, by the way, long before it was in the dollar bill under Rockefeller in 1934. And, you know, the Masonic influence on a nation is incredible. And then, you know, you have men like Kerry and George Bush, as Dr. Stan had just mentioned, both members of Skull and Bone, a secret society that I think it's amazing. I think we underestimate the power that secret societies have on nations. In fact, the man who started the Skull and Bones was the son of a drug dealer that went to Germany and learned about secret societies, came back to Yale and started his own secret society.
Well, hold that thought for just a minute when we bring our other stations back on. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Pastor Joe Schimmel, and Herman had called in and asked if he felt that America is the Babylon that's talked about in the Revelation. So, what are your thoughts? Do you think that this is a state? Do you think this will be Europe? Do you think it could it be America that they're talking about, this Babylon the Great?
Well, I took a couple minutes to set the foundation of my answer, because to just state that would, without any kind of rhyme or reason, would be, you know, sound very presumptuous. But I would say, when I was mentioning in Germany, the society that the Nazis came out of, the Vril Society and the Thule Society, were secret societies that believed in the teachings of Madame Blavatsky and the fifth Aryan root race and so forth. And it's interesting, because there's secret societies like Skull and Bones now, where you get in a coffin and you drink blood, and you that Bush and Kerry belong to you, and this is documented, and where you have names like Beelzebub, his nicknames, which is the name of Satan in the Bible. Now, I'm just saying, there's a lot of influence in our nation, and it's so easy for us to just think that, you know, we're a Christian nation when there's such evil. Now, as far as being Babylon itself, I'd have to say right now at this point, Herman, unless history changes dramatically, our nation, more so than any nation, would probably fit that bill, because not only because of the prosperity. It says when Babylon is destroyed, it says the other leaders of the other nations weep and mourn, because this nation that made the world rich, you know, has gone up in flames in 1 hour. And I don't think any other nation or any other, you know, any other influential commerce group that would go up in flames would so affect the world as our country. One other thing I'd point out along those lines as well is that our nation has influenced the world toward evil, whether it's through music or whether it's through Hollywood. I mean, I just got back from the Netherlands and from Italy, and did an evangelistic tour in the Netherlands. And I remember being in Israel a few years back. I'd been there a couple times, and you go to the street corners, and the kids are dancing to, you know, they're listening to MTV, and they're listening, it's all the American stuff that's being pumped throughout the world. And it's interesting, because it says that Babylon, through her sorceries, corrupts the rest of the planet. So I'm really concerned about what's becoming of our country, and, you know, God forbid that we would fulfill that prophecy. But right now, as it stands, and 2020 hindsight, you know, after prophecy is fulfilled. So I'm going to say, as an opinion, I lean toward, you know, America fitting that bill. I'd love to see that not be the case, but I'm first a citizen of heaven, and I cry out to America, as I do all nations, to turn to Jesus Christ and let, you know, and serve Him.
Anything else, Herman?
Well, as regarding Hollywood, I had read somewhere that the official sacred wood of witchcraft is the holly tree, and so what a coincidence that Hollywood would be the center of the entertainment industry at this time in history.
Well, I remember those words of Thomas Jefferson, and I tremble for my country when I reflect God is just, and His justice cannot sleep forever. Thank you so much for calling, Herman.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it, and again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, and we have Ben on the line. Hi, Ben, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Canada.
Okay, what part of Canada?
London, Ontario.
Okay, fine, good to have you with us. Are you listening on shortwave or internet?
Shortwave.
Okay, great. Did you have a question or comment?
Well, first of all, I have a question. My question is that, above all, talking about Hollywood, the media, music, and so on, the biggest question I have is that, is sex a big issue in the corruption of people? Like, what I mean by that is, when you look at music videos and that on MTV, like the last caller was saying, all you see is women dancing around, you know, drugs and alcohol, stuff like that. And I feel that, you know, bonds between men and women, when they become broken, people are broken. And a lot of women are becoming, you know, very promiscuous. And I was just wondering if that was true or not, if it says anything like that in the Bible.
Well, that's a good question, Ben. Let me just say this. We have a gal in our fellowship, where I pastor, and her name is Dee Forgetti. She's a great sister. She came out of lesbianism. And now she heads up a prison ministry, Camarillo Youth Authority, where she ministers to gals that are caught up in lesbianism. Many of them become lesbians in prison. And she gets up to 100 gals that come to her meetings. Thank God she's able to get in there. And she leads them out of that, and so many of them have left that lifestyle. But talk about how sex destroys somebody. You know, there's a gal that she's been ministering to for some time, a 20-year-old gal. And, you know, her name is Castle. I don't mind saying her name because her testimony is beautiful, and she's wants people to know what's happened to her. She's come out of that system. But her dad was a pimp, or is a pimp, and her mother was a drug addict and is a drug addict, as far as we still know. And she was raped repeatedly by her uncle. When she came out of lesbianism in the prison, she's still there. She's going to get out in a little while. Her ex-girlfriend in that prison, began raping her against her will. She slashed her face several times to make her, you know, like 10 or 11 times to make herself hopefully to look ugly, a very pretty gal, but so she wouldn't be raped over and over again. And she asked Dee, and I just talked to Dee about this recently. She said, I want to be more of a woman. She goes, but I don't know how to be feminine. And it was heartbreaking to hear that, because Satan is trying to erase the boundaries between, I should say, the distinction between male and female. Certainly he's done that through Michael Jackson, trying to look more and more like a female and so forth. And that's part of his plan, because she did not understand that we're made in the image of God, and that as his image bearers, and as male and female, God has a plan. And God said in his word, in Deuteronomy, that a man is not supposed to put on clothes that pertain to a woman. And in the scriptures in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 11, that men are not to, you know, grow their hair long to look like women. There were supposed to be distinctions. And certainly Satan uses sex, because sex is a very intimate part of God's creative act between man and woman, the two becoming one flesh. It's sacred to the image of God. And if Satan can defile that and drag it through the mud and cause sex simply to be a pleasure that's had with anybody or anything, he's really destroyed what God sought to do in his image. And Satan doesn't want that. So he attacks the image of God. He attacks the order of God. And in so doing, he can destroy God's plan. In fact, Jesus said, or I should say the Apostle Paul said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So one thing we see in Scripture is that the husband is supposed to be an illustration of God's love for his church and the way he treats his wife. So if Satan can deface that through pornography and everything else, he basically can do a lot to deface what God has shown in his creation to be his love for his people. Another thing I'll say is that we're not saying that sex is bad in and of itself. Sex within biblical boundaries, the Bible says the marriage bed is undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. A fire in a fireplace is great, but if that fire is climbing up your walls and climbing your bed and your pillows and so forth, it's very destructive. We need boundaries, and Crowley's lie of do what thou wilt is to destroy. In fact, you have a beautiful river because you have a boundary on both sides. Take those boundaries away, you get a stinking swamp. And I'll just say this in closing, hand it back to Stan, is Madonna just recently kissed Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera on an MTV Music Awards. It was a mock wedding. And Madonna says that she shows herself with other women in these kinds of ways so that people will keep seeing it and seeing it and seeing it and won't consider it a strange thing. Satan is desensitizing us toward homosexuality and bestiality. And Satan knows that God can speak still to an adulterous nation and call them to repentance. But if he can make America a homosexual nation, you come to the point where you become beyond repentance. I believe homosexuals can repent. And it says in 1 Corinthians 6, such were some of you, speaking of Christians, some of them were homosexuals. However, if he can turn the whole nation toward accepting this, and then harden our hearts so much against God where we no longer blush toward good or evil, we become like Sodom and Gomorrah. And then the only thing that waits us is eternal judgment.
And I think, Ben, that there is a spiritual component to this whole world homosexual movement. And it isn't simply here in the United States and in Canada. It's all throughout the world and is energized by evil.
Well, can I add on to that?
Go ahead.
What I was saying about the youth anyways is I actually believe that Satan himself, you know, tries to fornicate the youth into believing that premarital sex is an acceptable thing in all cases. And I can see, like, every day all around, that a lot of young girls are doing a lot of things they shouldn't be doing, and in my mind I feel like it is, in fact, that they're brainwashed.
They absolutely are. And, of course, it's a direct product, number one, of our schools. Two, the failure of our churches. Three, of course, what they're getting from television, what they're getting from the motion pictures.
Bill Clinton's example.
Go ahead.
Bill Clinton's example.
Bill Clinton's example, right. And you know, the thing is that somebody's got to be out there saying, look, there are rules, the rules are there. And even if you don't believe in God, stop and think about, you know, if you are going to be promiscuous, you're going to get human papillomavirus, and you're probably, may very well get a cervical cancer. You're going to get herpes, and the difference between herpes and love is that herpes lasts forever. And then, of course, there's AIDS, and there's gonorrhea, and there's syphilis, and there's hepatitis B, and, you know, you're not going to get these things if you're not sexually promiscuous. There is no free ride, and what happens if you get pregnant? I mean, then, of course, that increases your risk of getting breast carcinoma if you have a first trimester abortion. If you have a couple of first trimester abortion, your incidence of breast carcinoma doubles, and you're being lied to by those people who don't want you to know about this. God has rules. Freedom is not the ability to do what you want to do. It's the ability to do what you should do according to God's laws. And you violate God's laws, you're leaving yourself open for emotional heartbreak. And believe me, you look back on your life and the things you have done you shouldn't have, and you'll regret them all the rest of your life. Somebody's got to tell our young people that.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, Ben?
Yeah, well, I had one more question, if I could.
Okay, fine. Well, you just hang on to that, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll let you have that question in just a moment here, okay?
Yep.
And again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. Our guest this evening, Pastor Joe Schimmel, would love to hear from you. Okay, Dr. Stan here, and we've got Ben with us. Hi, Ben. Go ahead. Ben,
okay.
Are you there? Go
yes,
ahead.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
The one question I had was how, I'm calling from Canada anyway, but the rights in the United States and as well up here are systematically being taken away from us, and I was just wondering if that was true or not.
Well, of course it is. Do you want to comment on that, Joe?
I'm not sure I heard the question.
Well, totally. Basically, he says up in Canada, the rights are being taken away from them, and he feels it's the same way down here. And, of course, up in Canada, why, you're a minister, and you get up and say the Bible says that homosexuality is wrong, they can throw you in prison. Well, they can't do that in America just yet, but they will. Of course, Ben, there is a conspiracy against God, and when you understand that, everything makes sense.
Right, mm-hmm. Ben, I'd say also in California recently, Arnold Schwarzenegger had signed into action bill that states that if we, you know, if it basically makes speaking against homosexuality in such a way that, you know, if there was any kind of harm done, that would be considered a hate crime. That, you know, while, you know, obviously it's wrong if somebody does something, we want to, as Christians, we want to reach out to homosexuals and share the gospel with them and lead them to Christ. And we would disagree with anything that would lead somebody to create any kind of harm. But what my point is this, though, is that we're incrementally moving more and more toward laws that are you find in the Netherlands and other areas like Canada and so forth here in the United States that outlaws speaking, you know, the freedom of speech against what one deems as being immoral and destructive behavior. Let me say this as well. Here in America, on your cigarette, a pack of cigarettes, it will say, you know, it'll warn you that smoking will cause cancer. Well, it's interesting because the average lifespan of a homosexual is between 39 and 42 for a male homosexual. The average lifespan of a lesbian is 46 years of age. Now, that's a lower lifespan than those who smoke. And is it wrong all of a sudden to say, I mean, if we really love homosexuals, say, hey, this is dangerous for your health.
Amen to that. And I think that if you care about homosexuals, you're going to tell them that what they're doing is wrong. And they know it's wrong. And I'll tell you, Ben, if you haven't seen a video, it's called The Gay Agenda. We do carry that. It was put out a decade ago, but it is still the classic video on homosexuality. And, of course, I appear in that. We got over 250 obscene telephone calls as part of an organized effort to intimidate us for daring to describe from a medical point of view what homosexuality involves. Well, we have probably the last good supply of that video. We think it's important. It's called The Gay Agenda. Every American, every homosexual should see it. They'll be furious, because they don't want you to know what this involves, because they're ashamed of what they do, and when you can finally get them to admit it, if they really will talk to you, they know what they're doing is wrong. They know it's in violation of God's law, and most of them would love to get out of the homosexual lifestyle. They just don't know how to do it, and we need to let them know how. The way, of course, is to turn to the Lord. It's tough. That's, you know, it's very easy to say something and hard to do, but they can actually change their lives around by putting their faith in the Lord. Anything else, Ben? Ben, are you there?
Yep.
Okay, anything else?
No, that's about it.
All right, fine. Well, that was Ben from London, Ontario. Good to hear from you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My buyer telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. Our pastor, our guest this evening is Pastor Joe Simmel, and of course we're talking about his videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll. And what's that other one we have in the 3-hour one with you?
We've got a 3-hour version of They Sold Their Souls, 4-hour and a 10-hour.
Okay, we'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Pastor Joe Simmel. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And, of course, there's a 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. There is a 4-hour version, and then there's a 3-hour version. Tomorrow we're going to hear when Pastor is talking at the meeting we're going to be holding, I guess, about the 2-hour or 2.5-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. So if you're coming, I can promise you this will be an unforgettable experience. So now, of course, we've talked about the Led Zeppelin. They were one of the great musical groups. They did an album. It was called Stairway to Heaven. It was a song. That was the most popular song. Was that a song or an album?
Well, actually, Led Zeppelin IV didn't really ever have a title, so many people did come to call it Stairway to Heaven because that was the track that was by far and away the most popular track on that album. Stairway to Heaven itself was written automatically by Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin, and has been one of the most popular. Oftentimes, it was voted the most popular song when they'd had the countdowns here in America for years and years and years, actually. But Robert Plant says he was with Jimmy Page, who was the lead guitar player, and Jimmy Page was playing some chords at Headley Grange Studio, and Robert Plant said, for some reason, he said I was in a bad mood for some reason, and my hand started writing out words. There's a lady who's sure all that glitters is gold, and she's buying a stairway to heaven, and he said the song came automatically, and he leapt out of his seat. In our 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, we actually play that backwards. Actually, we show Robert Plant singing backwards. We reverse the videotape of him on stage, and we reverse some of the audio of him on stage, and we also show some of the audio from the studio version of Stairway to Heaven backwards. But basically, you have over 25 words straight when you play them backwards that have a satanic message that's quite clear. In fact, I'll ask people during a live presentation, often when I do that, even before I tell them what it's saying, I ask them what it's saying, and many people will shout out some of the lines. It's that clear. But you hear forwards, it says, there's a lady who's sure that glitters as gold, spy with Stairway to Heaven, it goes on and on. And backwards, when you play it, you have over 25 words straight, stating, here's to my sweet Satan. I want to live it backwards, like the Zepp, whose power is Satan. He will give you 666. Now, it's interesting as well, because Aleister Crowley wrote that in his book Magic, that his disciples were to learn to play phonographs reversed. And this was something that was done to get them to encourage themselves in the satanic movement. And a lot of young people are, through the years, have turned onto Satanism through playing music backwards and so forth. Some believe that it gets in your mind and reverses itself and so forth. I don't go that far because I don't believe we have any evidence of that. I believe the music forward is enough to mess you up. The music backwards is just part of the satanic rite.
But I think the thing is that there is no way that anybody could write the lyrics by themselves for a song when, of course, played backwards would say, you know, talk about sweet Satan and of course, giving themselves over to 666. So there really has to be demonically inspired, and only a supernatural intelligence could have accomplished this. I don't think that any one of us could have. But you see, there really is a supernatural intelligence out there, and you can tap into that, and you will get great power, and you will get great pleasure in this world. But, of course, you risk an eternity in hell. This is not imaginary, it's very real. And many of these people have knowingly and intentionally given themselves over to Satan. Somebody had just called in and asked anything about John Lennon and why this fellow Chapman had killed Lennon. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, John Lennon, first of all, he was not a man of peace. The Beatles, I mean, the one popular song was, you know, Revolution. And in that song it says, you know, when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? Well, Revolution 9, there was two versions. I'm sorry, Revolution. There was another one called Revolution 1, which was the same song, different version. Well, he says a little bit more. He says, when you talk about destruction, don't you, you can count me out. And then he says, in. And what's interesting is John Lennon was not a man of peace. In fact, he was a liar. In fact, Paul McCartney of the Beatles finally came out and admitted what was suspected for years. John Lennon said of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds that really it was not about LSD. It was a picture that his kid did at school and came back with this picture of Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, and it wasn't about LSD at all. It wasn't that at all, but Paul McCartney recently came out and said many of their songs were saturated with drugs and so forth, and that this was indeed about LSD. And after the quick break, we'll talk about Chapman's relationship to John Lennon.
All right, we'll be back here in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Pastor Joe Schimmel. Of course, he's going to be speaking tomorrow. The conference is going to start. We're going to begin at 8:45. I would suggest you get there at 8:15. Doors will be open at 8 o'clock. You'll certainly want to be there by 8:15. And, of course, you get a good seat. And it should be a pretty good turnout. We're really rather excited the number of people are going to be there. And, of course, this is the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. You take the Rio Del Mar turnoff off of Highway 1, and look forward to seeing you. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening, Pastor Joe Schimmel. And, of course, we were just saying that for the conference that's going to be held tomorrow, we're going to start promptly at 8:45, but I'd suggest you try to get there by 8:15 or so, or 8:15, because there's going to be a long line. You don't want to be held up by waiting to get inside, and so get there early, and we'll want to have you in, get you seated, and you can look around. There should be some fascinating things. I know that Michael Shaw is going to have a table. We're going to have a table. Pastor Schimmel is going to have some material there. Of course, Bill Sarney will be there. He'll have a table. Lots of interesting things to see while you're waiting for the program to start. So somebody had asked about the relationship between John Lennon and the man who shot him. Was his name Chapman?
Mark Chapman, yeah.
Okay, fine. Well, what was the relationship between John Lennon and Mark Chapman? Why would Chapman, who really almost idolized Lennon, actually kill his idol?
Well, one thing that's interesting with the average age of a rock star is about 39 years of age, a little bit longer than homosexuals. It's a very destructive lifestyle as well. And many of them go out on drugs or choking to death and they'll vomit or some horrendous way. The Bible says the wicked will not live out half their days. It's interesting because John Lennon had, Yoko Ono had just gone to South America and signed a pact with the devil. According to John Lennon, he had signed, or he didn't say signed, but he said he had sold his soul or made a pact with the devil for success. Well, later, as his career began to wane in the 70s, Yoko Ono went to South America, and with John Lennon and her, John Green, their tarot card reader, and she paid $60,000 to a Satanist, and they sacrificed an animal for John Lennon and her own career. Now, it wasn't long after that, because Satan was pretty much done with John Lennon. He wasn't producing a lot anymore. Spirits weren't using quite as much. They were moving on to other things. That Mark Chapman was inspired by Satan, by at least demonic principalities and powers. He stripped himself naked. He worshipped Satan, and he stripped himself naked, fell before a stereo as he blasted Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and prayed that Satan would give him the power to do John Lennon in. He ended up killing John Lennon shortly after that. And what's interesting about this is people don't realize these rock stars often don't realize that Satan doesn't love them. He doesn't care about them. He's not capable about love and care and affection. These are wicked spirits, Jesus said. And when spirits possess somebody, Jesus said if a spirit's cast out and that person's swept, but you know Jesus isn't living in them, he said that spirit will go and get seven spirits more wicked than itself, possess that man and make that house fall even worse. And these spirits are called wicked spirits. They hate human beings. They'll use people like John Lennon and others.
Hold that thought there right for just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this evening is Pastor Joe Schimmel. And, of course, we were talking about John Lennon. And Pastor Schimmel was pointing out that Chapman had actually had stripped himself naked and fallen down before an altar to Satan and asked for to get the energy to go ahead and to kill John Lennon. Now, on one hand, of course, Chapman worshipped Lennon. On the other hand, he had a demonic desire because he himself was possessed. And this is, of course, what drove him to kill Lennon. And, of course, as Pastor Schimmel had pointed out, God had pretty well done with Lennon. He was, it had been, the Beatles were no longer a major force. Lennon's wife had gone to South America and had been in touch with the Satanists down there trying to carry out a blood sacrifice to re-energize her career and John Lennon's career. And they get back, of course, not long after that, why Mark Chapman guns down John Lennon. I want to pick up the story from there, Joe.
Right. For Satan, many times the people that he's used are more effective for him later on when they're put to death than when they're alive. In fact, Elvis became more popular after he died than probably when he was alive. And it's just heartbreaking because many of these artists open themselves up to these forces thinking, that they're going to get fame and power and everything, and often, obviously, they do, but their lives are snuffed out short, and then there's an eternity to pay. And Satan is no respecter of persons. He just, what he's left in his wake, I mean, we have a whole section in our 4-hour version, They Sold Their Souls, of rock stars who've died young and how they died and so forth. And it's really tragic. It's heartbreaking. We pray for these guys. We even pray for Marilyn Manson that God would, if God would give him repentance and he'd fall on his face before God. Not banking on it happening, but we don't recognize or we don't ignore the fact that these people, these rock stars, are leading millions of people to hell. So we pray for them. We also warn people that this is this rock and roll industry is an insidious octopus that is dragging millions of young people into suicide and the occult and drugs and sexual perversion and sexually transmitted diseases and broken families. And it's sad, and I just encourage the audience to do something about it in their own homes if they listen to it or their family listens to it, to warn them. We've got a great tool with They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. In fact, many people have told us that have seen the video that it's the most effective tool that they've seen to bring people to Christ as a witness and make people aware. And we're just grateful to team up with you, Dr. Stan, because your ministry has so many awesome tools and that we could team up and make the at least some of the public aware of what's going on.
Well, certainly our audience has heard me talk many times about these videos. Now we have the 3-hour, the 4-hour, and the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. But this is a powerful, powerful video. And we've heard back from so many of the people who've actually heard those. You wonder, how is anybody going to sit down and watch a 10-hour video? Well, because they feel that there's something there and they need the information. And we move as many of the 10 hours as we do of the 4-hour versions of that video. And believe me, there is so much information here. And what happens is when you see this, when you actually see the film footage, when you see Ozzy Osbourne singing about Mr. Crowley, when you see Marilyn Manson singing about Mr. Crowley, when you see the evil face of Crowley there on the front of the Beatles album, when you realize that this is not imaginary, it's a reality. Why at that time, realizing that there is evil, why people begin looking for the other answer? Because if there's such an organized evil, there has to be a God. And well, if there's a God, you better be in touch with him, and I can assure you there is. So I think it's a great, great tool. We've used it very effectively to our ministry, and of course, we're thankful to Joe for actually putting these together. I mean, I don't know how he ever was to get all of this film footage, but it's been a labor of love on his part. You know, I think as I look out across America, I think each one of us is called to do something. Joe's been called to do something I could never do. I've been called to do talk radio. Other people have been called to write books, and others to make videos of Chris Pinto, who's a friend of Joe's, actually was inspired to make his videos. It's called Megiddo, the March to Armageddon, which we carry. But he was inspired by Joe. And each one of us has something we can do. It's just a matter of, are we doing it? Are we just sitting back and doing nothing? And, of course, I believe that men one day will be called, and called to answer for what they have done in a time of moral crisis. In fact, that wonderful saying about Dante, who said that the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who, at a time of moral crisis, maintained a position of neutrality. So I think we all have an objective. We have an obligation to be involved. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Well, Joe, certainly the Led Zeppelin, album, The Stairway to Heaven, had a tremendous impact on that. And, of course, this really was almost a channel song, wasn't it, in many respects?
Yes, it was channeled. Jimmy Page says three-quarters of the song was written right there on the spot. When you look at how many artists admit channeling, I mean, there's current artists that are very, very popular today. For instance, Eminem, you know, he talks about Slim Shady, you know, and how this was like an entity that he channeled, you know. Many of the artists, we show a lot of the rap artists, we go into a lot of the current artists of today that have, you know, it's interesting how they're all linked together. Pink, she's a huge artist today in America, and a lot of her stuff's played on MTV and so forth. She admits that, you know, she followed Madonna around like a puppy dog, you know, and broke boundaries because of Madonna. Now she's pushing, breaking a lot of the same boundaries and so forth. So what we have with one artist after another that we show, even what we do is we show one artist after another right up until the present time, admitting channeling spirits and breaking down the moral foundation that much of our country had at one time been built upon. And it's really heartbreaking. We show a bunch of different hip-hop or rap artists because they're so big today. One after another, we show Snoop Dogg, who's huge, you know, praying under an inverted cross, and his dream, which, you know, he had about selling his soul to Satan and so forth. We show Dr. Dre, who was basically one of the godfathers, at least on the West Coast, of hip-hop. We show him praying to Our Father who art in heaven backwards, which was talked about by Anton LaVey, or we show Anton LaVey actually in his satanic group praying it backwards before we show Dr. Dre doing it. And over again, we show these top artists, whether it's in pop music or rock music or heavy metal or hip-hop and rap music, the same movement, I mean, that's coalescing in just one anthem of hatred toward the true and living God and one huge exaltation of Satan. And no wonder our youth have no comprehension of the difference between right and wrong, and they're so hostile to Christianity and the gospel. I mean, they're being fed a steady diet of Satanism through MTV and the music channels and so much of the media and so many of the sitcoms and movies today. It's so sad.
Somebody's just calling from Norway, Leif from Norway. He wants to know if you have the video available in PAL, P-A-L, which is the European format, or if it's in DVD, because they can't play the American videos. Is it available on DVD, or is it available on PAL?
Well, we were just in the Netherlands in a group called Narhouse. There's four or five ministries that have teamed up to bring us over to the Netherlands, and Narhouse put it in PAL format. And I know last time I was just in the Netherlands, and we met a couple brothers actually from Norway, interestingly enough, and they have it put in the PAL format. What we are currently going to do is put the three-hour version, because we don't actually sell the PAL format, but if you can get a hold of, I don't know how, you know, how much access they have to the Netherlands, but with Narhouse Ministries over there, it's in PAL format with Dutch subtitles. But we are putting the 3 hour.
I'm sorry, that was Narhouse. How do you spell
that? That's N-A-A-R.
N-A-A-R.
House.
H-O-U-S-E.
Yeah, and it's basically to the house.
Narhouse Ministry, and I would suggest that you might try to get onto the Internet and look at it, and of course that would be in In the Netherlands, they would have it in PAL format, but you are going to put the three-hour one onto DVD.
Yeah, Leif, we're going to put all of these versions, Lord willing, on DVD. We're, the 10-hour is going to DVD right now, but we're going to put... But there's DVD in America is a different format than Europe as well. So one thing, Leif, what we will do is we are putting the three-hour version in PAL format for the next time. We're supposed to go back to the Netherlands in May and speak to... You know, it's supposed to be an assembly of about 10,000 youth out there. So we're going to be putting it in the three-hour version. So if you go to our website, try our website out, you know, every couple weeks or so, and eventually we'll have the three-hour version up there in PAL, so you can go to goodfight.org and get the PAL version.
That's goodfight.org. And how soon do you think you might have it?
You know what? We're going to... Yeah, we've got to have it done before May, so... You know what? For Leif's sake, I'll try to get it done long before May. Leif, you know what? Pray, and I'll pray that I got so much going on, but that we'll get it done sooner rather than later.
Well, you know, Chris, the thing is that Pastor Schimmel's pastoring a church. He's traveling. He just got back from Netherlands. And, you know, there's just not enough hours in the day. We're in the same problem. We just sort of barely keep our nose above water. If there were about 10,000 more of us, if we could clone Joe Schimmel and clone me and my staff, or if we could get a lot more accomplished, what we need is a lot more people involved. But, Leif, if you will, of course, keep an eye on that website, Good Fight, www.goodfight.org. Why it should be available there in PAL format, at least on DVD, probably within a couple of months. So just keep an eye there, or you can always get in touch with me, and we'll try to get information on that for you. But it's going to be a couple of months before it's available, but you really want to see this. But why don't you try that NAR House? Would that be .com or .org?
I'm not sure what their website is, but it's a pretty big evangelical ministry over in the Netherlands. They have a heart for the... What they have in the Netherlands, which isn't so big in the United States, is house parties, rave parties. They do have them in our country as well, but Netherlands, they're all over the place where kids go in all hours of the night. They're up to trance music, taking ecstasy and so forth. And NAR House is a ministry where they'll park their buses in front of these houses and wait till kids come out and share the love of the Lord with them and call them out of the music. And I met people in NAR House that actually came out of those house parties and became Christians and are now serving with NAR House. So it's a great ministry.
Well, I think this is pretty what we're going to have to do, because, of course, the other side controls the music industry. They control the entertainment industry. They control our schools. They control our papers. They control our government. The forces of Satan are every place in our society today. And the only thing, the only force against it is organized Christianity. And most of organized Christianity doesn't even know there's a problem. But there are groups all across America, certainly down in Southern California, through our ministry, and we're in touch with other ministries that are trying to get the word out. So, you know, just keep listening. We'll try to get the people on to bring you the information so that you, of course, can help to spread this. And right here in America, of course, we actually have the videos available. Hopefully they'll soon be available for the people of Europe as well, because believe me, as bad as you think things are here in America, and believe me, they are terrible, why they're even worse over in Europe. Would that be a fair statement?
Amen.
All right, fine. Well, of course, then we go from the Led Zeppelin. What happens during the next decade following that?
Well, the next decade, you have bands like, you know, Prince, or, you know, artists like Prince, Michael Jackson, U2, Sting. A lot of the new wave music had come out then, and in the 1980s. Basically, the biggest, you know, biggest artists were Michael Jackson, Prince, Sting, and U2, along with a ton of heavy metal bands that kind of ruled the day for a while as well. And the heavy metal bands, we show, you know, Metallica singing a Motorhead song all about selling their souls or giving their souls to Satan and so forth. And the heavy metal bands, I mean, those are pretty obvious. I mean, many of them just openly glorified Satan in their lyrics, so we don't spend quite as much time on them because it's a known thing that they've openly glorified Satan in their lyrics. But we do show some heavy metal, actually a pretty fair amount. But
well, because some people, you know, said, well, Prince used to sing about Christ and about Christianity and all those good things, and a lot of people really thought that somehow or other he was sort of a hidden Christian.
Well, Prince, we actually show one of his albums, 1999, and we show how he basically was doing what Crowley said about writing backwards. We show Prince and the Revolution. It says, and the Revolution is written backwards. And you see Prince, and it says 1999. You turn it upside down, and what you see is Prince is written in such a way where it says E-V-I-L, evil, and the P upside down is a flame of fire, destruction, and it's really 666, evil, but it's more than that. 666, 1999 becomes 666, then a phallus symbol, the one is a phallus symbol, then evil, destruction. And then you look on the back of that album, and it's all about we're going to party till it's 1999, and how, you know, the destruction was going to come, but he's going to party anyway, he didn't really care, and so forth. And, you know, the song Leads You Astray, you know, he says, he apologizes if it leads you astray. What's interesting, we also, have shown in the past, Prince singing about the, Prince actually singing about the coming New Age revelation, and singing about sexual perversity. We show him on Oprah Winfrey being interviewed, where he talks about being possessed by another spirit, an entity. He stopped using the name Prince for some time. They asked him why, and basically he didn't want to offend the spirit that was inhabiting him, because he felt that his name should not offend the other person living inside of him. And this was just par for the course of these artists with exceptional amount of talent, really being tied to the spiritual beings that are channeling this talent through them, fallen angelic musical beings that are perverting music to, but these men are being glorified as their channels of these spirits, which are very powerful. And Prince is one of many, and we show right into the 80s and 90s these different artists. We've mentioned Michael Jackson to some length already, is contact with the spirit world and so forth. Maybe U2. I mean, U2 is, we show U2 in the 10-hour version. We have probably about 20 minutes on U2. U2 has been probably the most popular rock band of the last 20, 25 years. They became huge in the 80s and the 90s and even presently. And many Christians don't like to talk about U2 because many, Dr. Stan, as you talked about regarding a Prince, many say, well, hey, they're a Christian band because Bono came out early on and all the members of the band claim to be Christians except for the drummer, and they make references to the kingdom of God and Christ and in their songs and so forth. Well, what we show is absolutely stunning, what we show in our video. We show many songs that U2 has sung that actually call God into question and blaspheme God in different ways. We show Bono, and we're talking about the biggest band in the last 20, 25 years. We show Bono singing Helter Skelter live. And it's interesting because as I was reviewing this video, getting some footage, just some background footage as I was going to be going into U2, as I watched him singing Helter Skelter, I thought, you know what, I'll take the footage from Helter Skelter because he's singing a Beatles song and so forth, and this will segue good at a certain part of my video. As I'm watching this, he tears off a cross off of his neck, and he wields it as he's singing Helter Skelter, which is, by the way, the song that Charles Manson used as he cut up Sharon, you know, his group cut up Sharon Tate and other people. He's singing the song. We show this upside down cross. I looked at it. It's an upside down cross. So what we do is zero in on the cross, and you can't miss this. Unmistakably, an upside down cross that he's wielding before his fans as he's singing Helter Skelter.
And of course, everything in Satanism is simply a mirror image of Christianity. The cross upright, the cross upside down. The Ten Commandments, the New Earth Charter. The Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Hope. And, of course, when they have their black mass, of course, they do human sacrifices to mimic, of course, the blood of Jesus Christ. These people know exactly what they're doing. It's just the average American can't believe that anything could be that blatant. And yet, of course, it really is. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening has been Pastor Joe Schimmel. And, Joe, we've got about 3 minutes to wrap up this evening's program. What message would you like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Well, I'd like to leave the message that our only hope, I believe, personally and very strongly, is the Lord Jesus Christ and a saving relationship with Him, not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him. Jesus said, come unto me, all of you that are weary and heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He said, come to me, and that you may have life. The scriptures are very clear that He is our only hope. And my heart is to warn people that, you know, not to just say, hey, this music is evil, but hey, turn to Jesus Christ. Turn to the Lord. If you're a parent listening, You need to guard your child's heart and protect them from evil and train them up, the Bible says, in the way that they should go, so when they're older, they will not depart. It says in Deuteronomy 6 that you should be talking to them about the Word of God while they're lying down, while they're up, while they're walking with you and so forth. Their lives should be saturated with God's truth. What's so sad is that parents have abdicated their responsibility to bring their children to the Lord, and they've allowed rock stars and TV programs to babysit them, which are just defiling and corrupting our precious little children. So I would encourage parents to take a stand and lovingly care for their children and spend time with them and give them godly entertainment. Don't throw them to the wolves.
And, of course, the average child cannot interpret what's going on in television. And there's so much violence, and there's much sex, and the underlying theme is basically anti-Christian. In fact, in the video we have by Carol Matriciana called Gods of Entertainment, she interviews a man who's intimately involved with Hollywood who says quite openly, the purpose of Hollywood is not to make money. The purpose of Hollywood is to destroy Christianity. And I really believe that is absolutely true. I believe that there is an anti-Christian movement which is energized by the prince of this world. And until people understand that Satan is not an abstract idea, he's not dressed up, you know, in red leotards with a pitchfork and horns and wearing a red cap. He is an entity that is powerful, all-powerful, and, of course, a supernatural entity. There is a trinity of evil, Satan, the Antichrist, and, of course, the false prophet, the counterpart of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This is not imaginary. It's real. You can't understand Nazism. You can't understand the epidemics that are sweeping our world. And, of course, when you come to hear my talk tomorrow, you won't be able to understand what's going on in America today unless you understand we're involved in a spiritual battle for the hearts and souls of mankind. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest for the last 2 hours has been Pastor Joe Schimmel, and he have done double duty. He didn't program with us this afternoon. Joe, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, it's so good to be with you, Dr. Stan. God bless you, brother.
And, of course, this is the time when we have to remind all of our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. We do hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And you do that by giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like, of course, to get the videos we're talking about, the 4-hour or 8-hour, before the 4-hour or 10-hour versions of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, why they're available, by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. I think we'll probably be carrying the 3-hour version in the very near future. We have another the 3-hour program with Pastor Joe Schimmel that we carry as well. And then we carry that one on Hollywood. What's that one that you have on Hollywood?
That's by Jason Kobar, an elder in the fellowship by Pastor. That's really good. Hollywood Unmasked.
Hollywood Great. Unmasked. We carry this one we get from Pastor Joe Schimmel. So all of these are available through Radio Liberty, and we think that they're excellent, well worthwhile, and they will help you in reaching others. And I will tell you, if you have children or you have grandchildren, they need to see these videos. They need to understand the demonic forces that are at work in our society. The people, you know, the rock stars are popular. They're making lots of money. They're successful by earthly standards, but by heavenly standards, of course, they are doomed to an eternity in hell. And so I certainly don't do everything you can to discourage your children from watching these stars, from trying to emulate what they're doing, because they're leading to a path to a total devastation. So we hope many of you, of course, will go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. If you'd like a free copy of our October newsletter, of course, this is the one that goes into the secret society that came to America in 1640 to bring these demonic forces here. They came from England. They were sent by a man named Sir Francis Bacon. And of course, this is all documented in the newsletter. from the writings of the Luciferians, and you can see their continuity of their influence from 1640 through the time of the great falling away that was followed by the first great awakening in 1740, and then their influence at the time of the Revolution and hiding on the back of the Great Seal of the United States. That occult emblem made up of a pyramid capped by an all-seeing eye that eventually then was flaunted on the back of the American dollar bill in 1935 at the behest of Henry Wallace, later to become Vice President of the United States, at that time Secretary of Agriculture. And Henry Wallace was deeply involved in the occult and Satanism. And you must understand that these forces work at the highest echelons of our government, not only in the past, but right today. In fact, you remember Hillary when she brought Jean Houston into the White House to conjure up spirits of Eleanor Roosevelt and Mohandas Gandhi. And everybody thought that was funny. And, of course, Nancy Reagan, and having her astrologers advise her as to what her husband should be doing. And, of course, don't think that Ronald wasn't at least working somewhat with astrology. But that is not the perception we have. After all, our perception of our leaders is created by our media. It's time the American people begin to think independently and understand we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, cultural, economic, and certainly an educational battlefield. And until we address that, we will continue losing this battle and not honoring God. So our plea to you is pray for America. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. Pray for revival, because if America doesn't turn back to God, why, God will never again bless this country. And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until tomorrow, when we'll be back with you, I guess Monday now, till Monday, why, may the Lord be with you.